First off, so
Don't worry, nobody.
Welcome back to another episode of Let's Be Real podcast. Thank you, Mo, for completely ruining my rhythm going into the introduction. You know, I completely lost my thought process, but big up every single one of you in the chat. Big up my co-panel. Big up Jacob. Big up Farooq. Big up Mo. Big up our partners, Manscaped. The link is in the description below. The pinned comment, Jacob, I hope you can, you know, set it up quickly. The code is LBR20. People, you know the drill. LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping on manscaped.com.
Yes, sir. You know, before you go on, I'm just going to say that I'm very happy that I managed to ruin your flow. These are the moments I live for, so incredibly proud.
Right. Okay. You're just plain annoying. But the game. I wasn't super happy. You know, we'll get into it. I know the boys weren't as well. This was a game. Oh, this was a night, basically, that we were supposed to be given a lot more answers, but we are left with a lot many questions rather than, you know, having some sort of a solid, you know, thought process going into the potential quarterfinals, you know, come mid-March. You know, it's not looking great at all. To be honest, we just saw more of what happened back in Leipzig, and that wasn't something that I was looking forward to. The game plan, how it was completely thrown out of the window from his team selection. Like, I was telling the boys earlier on that if what we saw in Leipzig made the coaching team resort to, you know, fielding five midfielders and experimenting it on the biggest night of the season, I really don't get it. I really want to, you know, be a fly in the dressing room and basically, you know, look down on what's been told to the players and what's been discussed as to, you know, like, what should be our game patterns be throughout the 90, because I'll reiterate myself from the past couple of weeks, right? Farooq wasn't there, so I was, you know, full-blown critical of how we were performing, and this is what I felt today as well. We don't have players knowing what they're going to do before something is about to happen. In so many phases of play, people are just looking around and looking for answers. It's just not the way that we should be setting up. We should be going out in big games, you know, especially the club of our size. Yes, people can bring in, you know, excuses. This is a transition season. We don't have a recognized striker. There are injury situations, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Because, like, come Man City or come a big side that we saw, Leipzig isn't a big side. They're a half-decent side that can press well. They gave us one of the biggest reality checks I've had, you know, as a fan, at least in the Champions League. In recent memory, I know people can bring up ties like Wolfsburg, you know, where things haven't exactly gone to plan. But yeah, this wasn't something that I was looking forward to. But we'll get into it. Big up my co-panel. I'll come to you first, Jacob. When you saw the lineup, you basically mentioned it in the chat that this basically makes me nervous. Walk us through it.
I mean, the thought process was, so I don't know where I saw it from, but I'm pretty sure the lineup got leaked somehow. So I saw this exact lineup a day before, and I was like, man, this is such a ridiculous lineup. There's no way this can happen. And that's exactly what I saw. Rodrigo was dropped. I don't know what's the thought process there, but basically made sure that, you know, we were toothless in attack and, you know, pegged back in defense as well. No support for Carvajal, Valverde all the way high up in the pitch. You know, Bellingham, our best player on the ball, he couldn't get any touches because he was playing as a striker most of the time. I just didn't understand it, and I don't know, man. I just hated the lineup first of all, and the first half was just a nightmare to just sit through it.
And the performance really, you know, warranted why you felt nervous, right?
Yeah.
Coming on to you, Mo. How's the feeling? How's the general feeling after that scrappy 2-1 win on aggregate against fucking energy drinks, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the first, like, when I was watching the game, this for his second half, the thought going in my mind was like, we're losing to an energy drink, you know, we're losing to these guys. I don't know what these guys mix in their drinks or whatever, because they're winning, keep winning in Formula One, they keep winning in football now, you know. So I was kind of annoyed, but you know, come the other day, like I said it when the draw was made back in December, I said it when we were previewing the game back in February, like Leipzig are absolutely the worst matchup for us. Atleti, these guys, maybe City, and you know, City, I don't think is a matchup issue. It's more of a tactic, like, you know, quality, like two teams of good quality, you know, going against one another. But when it comes to Leipzig, when it comes to, you know, Atleti, and when it comes to whichever team Thomas Tuchel is coaching, like for me, these three teams, like this season, I think they're like a terrible matchup for Real Madrid. So I said before the matchup we were going to have trouble dealing with their intensity, and I guess I was proven right. And to be honest, it isn't just me. I'm sure there are a lot of other people who would agree with me. Like coming into this game, we weren't at all happy, you know, when we got Leipzig. So for me, the fact that we're going through after this matchup is the positive I will take. Was it a good performance? Definitely not. Was it a performance that you want to see from Real Madrid? Definitely not. Was it a performance that you could entirely put down to being a bad matchup? Definitely not. Because for me, I think in the past few games, and you have made this point over and over, Real Madrid have struggled, especially in the offensive phase, I think, ever since Jude got injured. He's been out of the team, and you know, that combination in the front lines hasn't been there. Rodrigo's form, you know, the fact that he is off form, the fact that he hasn't scored, I think it has like affected his game, because he doesn't really make the movements that he was making towards the start. You know, today in the second half, there was one moment where Jude Bellingham kind of plays a back pass, and he's kind of expecting Rodrigo to be there, you know, to run into space and get the ball, but Rodrigo is nowhere to be found. So I think this is the same thing when we did the preview with the Copa del Rey final, you know, Super Copa de España final with Hafed. I was talking about this, that, you know, once players get into this rhythm where they keep missing goals, like with Lewandowski, they try too hard, and you know, they miss out what makes them great. And for me, Rodrigo is going through the same phase. Like in the previous post match, I think it was just me, you and me, Sunat. I said it, you know, Rodrigo's form is beginning to worry me. And I think today Ancelotti dropped him, but still he tried doing some things, because there was this moment where he absolutely took control of the ball on the left side and, you know, tried to dribble and create a goal. But for me, overall, I think the combination of the offense is not there, and Real Madrid are definitely paying for it.
The only solace I have is in the fact that, you know, Rodrigo basically injected something into the game, right? Like, yeah, he wasn't effective, and I'm nowhere near happy with his performances as of late, but yeah, he just gave us a lift, I feel like, you know. And it's just the bar is so fucking low.
Mm. Yeah, I think you made a very important point that he gave us a lift, because, you know, I didn't actually get to watch the whole of first half, so I can't really speak to it, but listening from you guys, you know, and I didn't trust your opinion, so listening from you guys about how bad we were, it kind of reinforced something in my mind, the fact that, you know, we always keep calling to drop Rodrigo, but the thing is, like, we need him. We can't really do without him, and we need him to be in form. Because without him, we're definitely going to struggle. I think the ceiling of the team goes down if Rodrigo is not in the team. And if Rodrigo is in form, I think we'll achieve much more than we would if we suddenly drop Rodrigo and do not give him the time to get back into form.
Yeah. Yeah, even if it's from the bench, we need Rodrigo in peak match sharpness. You know, like, he just looks like he is really lacking the confidence at this moment in time. But I'll come to you, Farooq. Yeah. First of all, welcome back. I haven't, you know, really gotten the chance to talk to you after you came back from your vacay back home. Hope you didn't miss us at all. You know, we clearly have proof that he didn't miss us, but we missed you, Farooq. Tell us, you know, how are you feeling? You know, before we get to the game bit, which I want to really ask you a serious question. But in general, Farooq, how's life?
Yeah, man. I mean, back, you know, safe and sound, you know, people back home are good, you come back and, you know, it's business as usual, man. So yeah, I mean, it's good to be back, you know, and it's good to be back with you guys as well, contrary to what you're saying, you know. I think you should
I beg to differ.
You should watch my comeback episode and see how excited I was. But yeah, man, I mean, that's a story for another time. But yeah, it's
good to be back. Fair enough. All love
on Farooq's comeback episode. I was just excited he didn't get arrested or something in Nigeria.
Yeah, he's been evading, you know, the duties of a lawful Nigerian citizen for too long. Too long.
Don't air my dirty laundry on air, man. This is
fair enough. Dirty laundry aside, speaking of dirty laundry, actually, right? Carlo's been delving in, you know, dirty laundry ever since you're away. I don't know if it's just the fact that he got to know, oh, Farooq is on holiday. Let me just, you know, play to my strengths. That is, you know, free for all, freestyle, headless chicken stuff, right? You have been a huge advocate of Carlo is not the right man, is not the right guy forward. And I used to always defend it with the fact that as long as the results come, they are going to be fine, right? And towards midway, I think, midway of the first half of the season, November, October, like there were periods in the season where even you were impressed, you know, considering the situations he had to deal with, you know, the loss of Benzema, the Thiba situation, Militao situation, how we kind of came up with a plan to negate our weaknesses and, you know, capitalize on what we can actually do on the pitch, and we succeeded to great extents. But ever since, I don't know, turn of February, we have been really on the downward spiral regarding performances. Farooq, my question is, right, like, we know Carlo as a man who is made for the big moments, right? People can make excuses as to say, yeah, like we won the 14th in a similar fashion. Against PSG, we had to suffer. City, we had to suffer. Chelsea, we had to suffer. Even Henry in the CBS post match, he was mentioning that's what big clubs do, right? Like on a day when things aren't really going great, they still manage to push through and qualify. But is that really enough against this Leipzig side who is fifth in the Bundesliga? Yes, stylistically, you know, Mo was saying, this is a bad matchup for us. You know, they can press as well. But are you really concerned? Like, I don't know if you caught the Valencia game at the weekend. Like, me? Man, I am panicking. Like, what's your take on all this?
Yeah, man, bro. I think it's you know, as we've always said, you know, Carlo is a man for the big occasions. And, you know, whatever I think of him, like, you can't take that away from him. Like, his record speaks for that, you know. But I'm just going to, you know, answer your question by, you know, going to what, you and Mo were retreating earlier. Like, you know, like, Rodrigo came on and gave an impetus to the team, right? The point is, if you're taking Rodrigo out of the team, in my opinion, Rodrigo didn't give anything to the team. He just came on because, like, there was no one in those spaces. When you take Rodrigo out of the team and you put in Kamavinga for a team that already is not creating enough, what do you think is going to happen? It's exactly what Mo said. Like, Jota is going to give a back heel and it's going to be in an empty space because there is no one there. You're, like, filling a midfield with five players. And, I mean, even if you want to take Rodrigo out of the firing line, like, there should be an alternative, which is not Kamavinga. Already, we are playing without a striker in this team. And then you're removing this and putting a different profile of a player there as well. When you have players like Brahim, where you could have played Hosiro as well. I mean, that just was, you know, asking, like, I feel like that was just more of arrogance. I don't know, on his side, like, you know, I don't know if that might be the right word, but I feel like that was just shooting yourself in the foot, you know. That totally made zero sense to me, zero. I can understand a Luka Modric in that situation, you understand? Not, you know, take out Rodrigo and like, okay, I will put Modric. I can understand that, but honestly, not Kamavinga. Definitely not him. So, like, I kind of feel like, you know, that prepared was a recipe for disaster in the first place. So, when Rodrigo came on, I felt there was no impact, but the point is that he's there in those spaces, you know, that in the first half, there was no one. I mean, in the first half, we had no shot on target. Like, come on, like, we were playing like we were away. We were playing like...
Honest to God.
Honest to God. We were playing like we were away, bro. Like, man, I mean, like, every 5 minutes, like, Leipzig had something, man. If they had someone who had...
Every counter, every transition, every attack, simple as.
So it's not about, you know, the fact about creating chances anymore. It's about the fact that the rate at which we're conceding chances, you know. I didn't watch the first leg as well, but the highlights I watched, you know, like, it was an extended one. Leipzig had really good chances to win the game. Let's not forget, like, they had a goal even disallowed before we even...
Openda scored. Could have had a fucking hat-trick. Like, I'm not even going to put it lightly. Like, he would have even had a poker if he was clinical, you know? Let's be honest.
And I get the fact that, you know, like, Mo is pointing out the fact that, okay, like, Leipzig is, like, the worst, one of the worst matchups we can see, you know? The fact also that you're irritating, like, even Titi Anu was saying, like, yeah, like, this is what, you know, big teams do. They find a way through. But, bro, we didn't find a way through, bro. Leipzig literally opened the door and just went away. Like, when you find a way through is what we did against City, what we did against Paris, what we did against Chelsea. Well, here we didn't find a way through, bro. Like, I mean, in my opinion, we didn't find a way through. The door was literally, you know what happened? Leipzig lifted the door and put it to us. They literally lifted the door and shifted it to us. We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything. And if he's going to start making this kind of tactical decisions, I'm sorry, but I don't see anywhere we're going. I don't see where we're going anywhere. Come on, like, I mean, I have always argued that, yeah, okay, he is not the right person to do this and do that. But come on, like, I mean, this is just borderline stupid. You don't have a striker in your team. You're playing with two attackers. You remove one of them for another midfielder. Bro, what are you, Spain? Come on.
I don't get it. I don't get the thought process at all. The very fact that Leipzig basically had, you know, the freedom of the pitch, like what you said, like, we conceded the goal immediately after we scored. That just shows the initiative they had throughout the game. That just shows us the chokehold they had towards the, you know, towards the entire 90. Like, you really can't walk away from this game thinking that Leipzig were kind of, you know, like, deservedly losers, right? Like, people who will be replaying this matchup will also see so many similarities to our game in Valencia, where basically against an organized press, we just suffocate ourselves. Like, when we, like, I don't get it. Like, this is one of the biggest gripes that I have with the way modern football is being deployed, right? Like, yes, you are being pressed from every angle. You have no way to go. Fucking boot the ball. Like, then we can deal with what comes later. If it's a throw-in, we reorganize, we reshape. You know, we kind of settle ourselves, and then we kind of, you know, try to smother what they throw at us. But, like, in the heat of the moment, like, when you're trying to wriggle yourself out of a press, more often than not, you're very prone to mistakes. Carvajal had, like, you two or three, you know, very characteristic Carvajal moments against Leipzig as well. Like, replace Leipzig for a City, man. Like, regardless of if we play well or if we set up well, we are definitely underdogs against City. Imagine we play like this. Imagine we play like tonight, where we basically trust in our instincts to basically sit back and you know, like basically give ourselves a better platform compared to the first leg. Mo, I want to ask you this question, man. Like, does Carlos' thinking revolve around, oh yeah, like, we saw that in the first leg. Like, how can we basically prevent that from happening? Just that alone, right? Like, how can you make a decision on just that, right? Like, yeah, we gotta basically prevent Leipzig from, you know, running us ragged. We're at home. We are the you know, the perennial champions of the Champions League. Like, how can we set up so pessimistically against the Leipzig side that, yes, they are good, but really, Mo, are they that good? Is my question.
I think something that we need to keep in mind is the fact that Ancelotti can go with like 10 plans, but if Leipzig decide to come out and you aren't able to counter it, whatever planning that Ancelotti went to the game with goes out the window. So for me, I've been reading some post-match quotes from Ancelotti, and he says that the idea of when he set up was to press the opponents. And I'm pretty sure that we didn't see any of it. Instead, Leipzig were the ones, like you said, pressing us all around the pitch, you know, forcing mistakes from us. So I guess the instructions didn't actually translate. So that is an issue. And I think even after the City game, Ancelotti said the same thing, that, you know, they went out with a particular set of instructions, but that it didn't work out. It just happened to go that way, where whatever instructions were given by the coaching staff were like completely forgotten, and the players decided to do what they could do. You know, like today, we were just sitting deep and trying to defend ourselves on the box. And in situations like this, I feel, you know, that is when we realize how badly we miss players like Sergio Ramos and David Alaba. You know, if Alaba had been there, we have an ability to play the ball out better in these situations, because today, like, none of our defenders, especially center backs, you know, as good as Nacho is on the ball, I mean, he's definitely not Alaba good. So when these situations are there, everybody knows that, you know, you just crowd out Cruz, then Ramirez don't have anybody else to pass the ball to, nobody else to relieve the pressure. And even in an attack, you know, even if you hoof the ball up to Vinicius, they can put three defenders on him and, you know, build a wall around him. So there's no connection between anybody else, or Vinicius and anybody else, you know, because Mendy, for all the good that he does, he's not really great on the ball. So Vinicius passing him the ball is like, there's nothing to do there. So in situations like these, when the profile of our players isn't that great, and when Real Madrid, you know, players are out of form, when players are not combining well, when players are not taking the correct positions, we often talk about the fact that, you know, players are not making runs from deep into the opponent's box. But sometimes I feel players are not positioning themselves around our box well either, especially when you are trying to build up from the back, you know, when you're trying to get the ball out. If you remember one game, it was against Liverpool at the Di Stefano, you know, during the COVID years. I think it was the quarterfinals when we faced Liverpool. That time there was the sequence where Lucas Vazquez and Cruz and all these others combined to get the ball out of a pretty good Liverpool press. So, you know, those situations aren't getting repeated because players aren't positioning themselves well. Players aren't, like, you know, moving off the ball well. And I think I read something online that definitely clicked to me. The fact is, like, we have been pinpointing a lot of players, but one player we haven't really pinpointed out, like, in the recent games is Fede Valverde. Towards the start of the season, his form was, like, incredible. Maybe, like, last year, it shone a little bit more because of the fact that he was scoring goals. But this year, he hadn't been scoring goals, so he was going under the radar. But off late, I've kind of felt that, you know, that ability of his to carry the ball across the lines, the ability to make
runs, it's missing.
Yeah, it's missing. And even his positioning on defense sometimes, you know, it doesn't really feel the same. So with that thing, I think that is affecting the play of Real Madrid. We often say that, you know, if there's one player who's like absolutely undroppable for Ancelotti, is Fede Valverde. And the fact that his form hasn't been at the level that he used to be. I mean, he's been decent. He's been good. I'm not going to say he's been a crap player or something like that. But when he is not at that top particular, you know, top level of form, I think Real Madrid suffers and is definitely showing these days.
And Jacob, I would like to, you know, basically, you know, retread on the same question. Openda basically ran through every single time that he had a chance to do so, right? And nobody could stop him, even from set pieces, even from corners, even from crosses from deep. If replace that Openda with a Haaland, he walks away with 4 or 5 goals.
I mean, I don't get how Openda managed to score like more than 20 goals this season already. Like, he's such a shocking player. Just over the two legs, he's been the worst player on the pitch by far for both teams. Mm. And, you know, like, it's fine if he could, like, even if he got like maybe 4 or 5 more chances, I think he still wouldn't have scored. But if you replace that with Haaland, like you just need half the chances or like half the quality of the chances that Openda had for Haaland to score. So it's not going to look pretty if we go with similar tactics, if we go with a similar style of play, if we concede the same level of chances, we're going to be in trouble. That's it, man. I just feel like this is a game that maybe, like Carlo said in his quotes, we have to reassess and reevaluate and, you know, come back fresh. So maybe doing that, hopefully we get to that point while for the quarterfinals at least.
Yeah, for me, this is the thing, you know, we've been there before, as Mo rightly pointed out, you know, they went to City last year and also they had to reassess and redo this and redo that. We literally played at City. We would have still been playing till today and still not scored. You understand? So at what point do you start? And this is with Benzema. Benzema wasn't like fully fit, like he wasn't whatever, he was having fitness issues, but whatever. But this is with Benzema. This is the point. Now you're having someone who is not a striker who, you know, all of a sudden he's having a season of his life, and then now you have Vinicius Junior, and then there's Rodrigo, who you don't know what to expect from him. So like it's just, you know, it's really, really bleak. And I just kind of feel like today, like, in my opinion, was just all on the coaching staff, honestly. Like, I just, you know, don't know where we go from here, honestly. Like our like, you know, our prospects were in, like, you know, like, oh yeah, we're the favorites or shit like that, but like, come on, like, I mean, even now I'm playing Thomas Tuchel, shit is buying, is also like a proposition that, you know, it's looking scary, honestly. Harry Kane with, Harry Kane with a quarter of those chances, bro. The game is over in the first 10 minutes, man. Game over.
I'll tell you something, right? Like, going back on what Mo said, where Mo is someone who has a better eye for the game than I do. Like, I'll be honest, right? Like, he tends to understand it better tactically. Well, I'm a layman in terms of tactics.
Is there,
right,
a moment somewhere Sunil is being too, you know, he's being too kind to me, so I have to see if there's a blue moon or something.
Okay, take it or leave it, right? But yeah, what was I going to say? So yeah, when Mo was basically mentioning that even while playing it out of the back, our players aren't really positioned well enough to, you know, like just minute details and how you open your shoulders up to receive a ball, or maybe, you know, like how basically you can angle yourself away from someone who's pressing to, you know, basically get out much more efficiently. It just, you know, brings me back to my very layman analysis of when I look at players, they just look bewildered. Like they have that look in their eyes, or like, oh shit, what was they supposed to do then? Like, there's so many looks being exchanged between big players, key pieces in this puzzle for Ancelotti, that it's super unacceptable. Like, I'm telling you, like, against maybe sides like PSG a couple of years ago, like, we were thoroughly outplayed, and I could kind of reason it with, yeah, like, we are not really being proactive, right? Or we are being a bit passive. We are trying to be a lot more conservative than we would like to be. That was our greatest gripe, right? But this season, compared to, you know, a couple of years ago, like, I feel like players really don't know. Like, there was a huge instance, right? Like, I think it was before the first goal? Not sure. Yeah, it was before the first goal for sure that we scored. Vinny is running down the wing, right? And Vinny, usually what Jude does is Jude underlaps or overlaps, right? But he's basically following Vinny. Like, he completely became oblivious to the fact that he should underlap and maybe provide a passing option, or pull someone, you know, some defenders out of the way so that, you know, Vinny can cut in. It just isn't there. Like, I don't see any cohesion in the side. That's just one instance where I could, you know, really, you know, see it through. But yeah, like, this doesn't really give me any sort of confidence, man. Like, I'll be very honest. Like, how many 7 out of 10 or 6 out of 10 performances can we pluck from that game tonight? I'll tell you, you can count it on your right hand. Like, it won't be even 5. Like, if players actually, if people here on the panel can really name me 5 players who had a game above 6 out of 10s, like, I'll be surprised. And that's super worrying. Against Leipzig at home, it should be so much better, boys. I really don't have any guts, right, to be facing top sides.
I'll just say this one thing, all right? I think all the criticism that we're giving the club, like the team right now, is like pretty valid. But we have to keep something in mind. You know, when you started this, you said that, you know, when you, like, I think when you were first speaking with Farouk, you said there was a period in time in November, December, January when all of these guys were combining pretty well. And that time we were seeing that the fluidity of the formation, the fluidity of play that we are missing right now. And we were pretty happy about it. And then, like I said, Jude Bellingham got injured in February. And ever since he's been missing, Real Madrid have struggled a little bit, you know, with Brahim, Rodrigo, Vinicius, it wasn't there. Even when we played, you know, at Las Palmas, it wasn't there. And now Jude is coming back from injury at Mestalla. The combination between Vinicius and Jude, like, and Rodrigo, it just didn't happen in that game. And today, again, didn't happen again. You know, last game, we kind of expected that maybe he wasn't fully fit. This game, probably, again, not a full 100%.
Not fully fit. No way.
Yeah. So for me, the thing is, like, you know, yeah, definitely we need to criticize the team for what happened today. But we also need to keep in mind that give them some time, especially Vinicius and Jude Bellingham. Once the combination starts coming again, I think we'll be a better team. So
he's suspended for Osasuna and Celta again.
We'll see what happens there. You know, definitely there's going to be an appeal, and we'll see what happens there. But I think once Jude is fit, once there's that combination, you know, once that understanding, because, I mean, let's be honest, these guys haven't played, like, you know, they have played, what, like 5 months together? So give them some time, I think, once the combination comes in. Because you said, you made a good point, you know, Jude didn't really know where to position himself once was running after Vinicius. So that happens when there's a lack of coordination between players. They don't really know what the other is going to do. But for now, I think give them some time. Let Jude reach his 100% and, you know, get back into form. I think Real Madrid will definitely go back to being fluid again.
Yeah, and we also saw shades of that happening. Like, today for me, the only combination that kind of worked in the second half was Jude and Vinicius. They combined at least three chances together, created something out of nothing.
100%. It's too much responsibility, I'm telling you. It's too much responsibility in great sides, right? Let's not even talk about good sides. In great sides, players will be put in positions where they can basically concentrate on the finish, or concentrate on who to play in or who to pass to next, right? we are basically improvising as we go. Is this the most expensive game of charades or something? Like honestly, this season is looking like that, right? Like, especially with this diamond formation and performances of the player.
Between the period that we were good, we had the right balance. We had everybody clicking. Everybody was informed. You know,
not going to deny that.
Going ahead, and then he was even covering at the back, you know. So the thing right now is Fede hasn't really kept that form up that he was doing, and I mean nobody expects them to do. And the combination between Jude and Vinicius is taking some time to come back. But I fully expect that Fede is probably going to improve. You know, the thing is with Real Madrid, we always say that come January the performance is going to drop. It didn't happen in January this time. It's probably happening right now. You know, it's happening in the second half of February and opening of March. But there's going to be an uptrend, as February wears on. I'm fully expecting it to happen. And I think we'll be fine, towards the end of the season.
They better have an uptick, man, because I'm not really ready for facing City in the next round. I'm telling you, I'll be honest. Bayern, yeah, we can take them on. But City, yeah, we're going out. I'll tell you right now.
Against City, it becomes a competition of quality, right? Because
competition of quality against that side, who can basically bring on three top-notch subs to change the game on any given day. How many subs can we bring on to change a game?
When it comes to that point, a lot of people from injuries will be back. But I do get your point. In the attack especially, I think we lack a striker. We lack a top-quality striker that is definitely needed. So that definitely pushes us down. But right now, even without, a lot of players being injured, we have done decently this season so far. Against City, it becomes a match of quality. It all depends on who's better on form, during that game day or during that 2 weeks period when we face them. So overall, I'm not too worried. City, definitely a team to be worried about because, they're the winning champions. So you definitely have to be worried about them. But apart from others, apart from City, the other teams, I'll be I'll still give Real Madrid a good chance of going through to the semis.
Yeah. The absolute idiots who used to tell me, right? Oh, City really are in the team of last season. They're slacking. I told them in December, I told them in November. We all know how the script goes, right? They sleep for 2 months, then they wake up and then they fucking blow every team in Europe out of the water. And that's what's going to happen. It's simple as. So last year, I remember I used to have some chest believing in what we are trying to do. But this year, if we have a preview with Big Steve, I'm going to predict a loss from the get-go. I might be, basically swimming in my emotions too much right now, but I can't see any way. A rational me, maybe under a couple of drinks, I might change.
When we face them, right now, I don't think we're...
It might be next round, bro. Let's be honest.
Okay, fine. When the next round comes, when we are previewing them in the next round, then we can talk about it. I mean, I don't really understand. Is this the Manchester City podcast?
Nah, but I'm just super worried.
We haven't talked so much about them. It's okay.
That's the benchmark, right? We are comparing our performance with the benchmark.
Afraid of facing anybody, man. Okay. I mean, they're a good team. They're the best team, but we face the best teams in 2021-22.
So, we did.
Anything can happen. But, I don't really understand fearing somebody and saying our team is crap and everything. I mean,
it's not fear. It's the very certainty that we are going to lose. Simple as.
Okay. That is
how we played today.
That is called being afraid.
Being afraid is basically conceding that you have any chance in the tie.
You're saying you're going to lose.
I'm saying we're going to lose based on what we saw today. How can you sit here and say that we are going to win? When you see a performance like that,
better. And I know they're capable of being better. So right now, I'm definitely. I agree with you that City is the benchmark to reach for. And if we face, they're going to be favorites. But I have enough faith in my team to, if it's anybody apart from City, I definitely fancy our chances. When it comes to City, we'll definitely.
I'll agree with that as well. But City, no way. But okay,
We don't really need to talk about them so much.
Right. Fair enough. I was just being honest because, I don't like saying that City is going to, thrash us. But sitting through what I sat through last year, I would want that time back, basically.
This is the thing about being a football fan, right? I think Farouk or somebody said this, they're going to be lows, they're going to be highs. Enjoy the highs, but don't get too disheartened at the lows.
Fair enough. You're a much more You're a much more composed guy when it comes to dealing with, you know, stuff like that. But I hate to lose, I'll be honest.
I don't know, man. I kind of feel like maybe, you know, Sunit's Arab roots actually has some things, you know. We don't know, maybe the, you know, people in Abu Dhabi are sliding some, you know, colored papers and Sunit is like trying to promote them constantly.
Oh. Farooq, yo, relax, yeah? Relax. We are on the Manscaped. Now let's worry about the shakes when it happens. Let's get to the chat a bit.
Oil money.
Yeah. Oil money. Right. Milan was saying, big up Milan, he was mentioning Carlo Ancelotti, disaster class, Vinny, 24 goals and assists in 22 Champions League games. Rodrigo should have started easily. The worst coached game since Zidane, putting Vinny right wing back against Chelsea. Yeah, don't even start.
That's
that.
A throwback.
Yeah, that's a proper throwback. Yeah, that's this level of shite. Yes, 100%. Big up every single one of you in the chat. You know the drill. If you're new here, don't forget to smash the like and subscribe to the channel. We're on the road to 2K. That guy King was mentioning, oh my God, what did I just watch? Right, Ashik was mentioning I'm watching Pain right now, and it's way more interesting than the match that was. You can't deny that wasn't interesting. I mean, interesting, you know, like, yes, we were on the receiving end of the majority of what happened, but it was definitely a good game. Can you guys hear an echo from my side? Is it still prevalent? Mo was mentioning it.
Yeah, back then it was like too loud, but right now it seems okay on my end, but it depends on what kind of echo Jacob is getting.
I'm getting on as well.
It's fine, man. Like, I think it's soft enough that you can just live through it.
It's there, right?
Yes.
Right. Do you think the stream, guys, if you hear an echo, please let us know, yeah? Because I can just mute myself and go sleep, honestly, because I have no interest in fucking talking about this game. Daryl was mentioning...
So then if you leave, who's going to promote City?
Not in the mood for jokes as well. Daryl T was mentioning, what a shambolic display on the club's birthday. Even PSG looked far much better than us yesterday. Yes, yeah?
I was telling Jacob and Farooq, you know, before you came on, and we were talking. I said, as soon as everybody started celebrating our birthday, I knew something bad was going to happen today. if you guys remember, in 2002, we had this Copa del Rey final against Depor. That was
on the anniversary, right?
Yeah, it was like it was a complete farce. So if anybody has time and, you know, wants to see what Real Madrid has been through, you know, the pain we have been through, even the worst games than the City 4-0. You just have to go back in our history and look at some of the games, the titles we lost in the final.
Depor was actually a very competent side back in the day.
Man, you should read what actually the events surrounding that game, and you'll be like, man, you'll pity the fans who had to go through it. Mm. But overall, I mean, as soon as everybody was celebrating, I was kind of afraid that we're really going to get knocked out, you know, especially given the fact that yesterday Ajax were kind enough to remind us of the fact that, it has been 5 years since they beat us. So that's the only trophy that they keep on celebrating every year. So and it also gave some Barca fans something to celebrate this season. So I was kind of afraid, but the fact that we went through is kind of like, you know, is my silver lining in the dark clouds.
Fair enough. Yeah, losing the league from this position is going to be shocking. But yeah, like Champions League getting knocked out in the round of 16 is basically a failure of a season, in my opinion. Yeah, I put my club in very high, you know, regards, especially when it comes to expectations for a season, regardless of, you know, how realistic we can, you know, look at that at the beginning. Ricardo was mentioning, I think this was our worst performance of the season. I'd rather lose trying than playing that absolute garbage I just watched. Yeah, what the fuck, Carlo? Rajat was mentioning, nice to watch prime Burnley ball. Rajat has the point, you know. He's also saying it was the worst game on your eyes. Yeah. Daryl was also mentioning, be lucky we weren't facing the likes of Grimaldo and Frimpong. They would just have given us a thorough whopping. Right. Ashik was mentioning, we just escaped today. Dent Manscape. Yeah, there you go. Wordplay, man. Wordplay. Keep it up. Tas Saliba, big up Tas. He was mentioning, how can you still defend Ancelotti? Any decent team with decent finishing is going to win over us. Simple as. This is not just this game. It's been happening for a long time. Besides Girona, another year of this hard. I don't get if it's a positive hard or a negative hard. It's definitely a negative hard. Mila was mentioning Carlo needs to take that 5-year sentence. That's fucking mental, Milon. You know, you need to relax, right? But yeah, man, big up, Milon. That was funny. Raja was mentioning it was Burnley or Stoke City levels of a game. Sun was mentioning the passage through the arid Pintus Valley. Yeah, questions. Few of the quotes from Carlo. He was mentioning you have to be self-critical but not exaggerate. We have to exaggerate, Carlo, please. Yeah, like honestly. He was also saying we wanted to press more instead we defended too low. We had little verticality. It was a bad evening and it seems obvious to me. You should have done something about that, you know, in the first half. Like, even, like, let's be honest, right? When they scored the goal, like, I just knew what was coming. They're going to come with the guts that people who really don't have anything to lose, right? Like, even starting the game, they had something to kind of fall back on because it was only a one goal deficit they had. They can, you know, probably game manage a bit. But as soon as we went 2-0 up on aggregate, we saw like how vicious they were. And Rudiger had to basically make a double block. Like, how crucial was that? I think the game completely turns on its head, you know, if that effort from, I don't remember who it was. Was it from Xavi Simmons? I can't remember. It was a fucking blur. But that double block basically, I think, saved our lives, man. Honestly, it was immense. Rudiger Tchouameni was really good. Marcus Wenger was mentioning it was a shitty game. Thank God Openda is not clinical, otherwise we will be out of this round. Tas Saliba with the Rodrigo slander again. I was mentioning Rodrigo being shit yet again. Can't be happy seeing him good for one game and disappear for 5 games. All gives right. me Quaresma vibes.
I forget somebody who used to call Rodrigo Rashford. Was it Tas Saliba?
Yeah, it is Tas Saliba. Like, read the rest of the comments. Tas Saliba.
I called him the Brazilian Rashford. Hope it doesn't happen. Holy shit. Yeah, I'm starting to really get worried about, you know, how that's going to pan out, because Rodrigo is my boy.
To net some happy pills, you know? He's too depressed now.
Like, how can you not be? Like, I don't get it. Like, how can Mo smile about the match he does?
I see you getting depressed after reading comments, so, you know.
I just don't get it. Yeah, like, it's happy to, you know, wear a smile on when I'm not really happy inside watching that. Prince Arthur, bigger Prince, he was saying, let's get over this loss. Benzema's gone. We have the quality and we have seen it. He prefers absorbing pressure to dominating possession, which is a fact. Ancelotti does prefer the pragmatic route than being, you know, the dominant side. Go on, Farouk.
Yeah, we've also seen it last year, right? So that's the thing. Like, we've seen it over and over again. That's the thing. Like, you know, for how long can you ride on the high of, you know, the UCL that we won? That's the question. You know, for how long can you ride on that high? So, like, you go to games and, like, it's just the fact that you sit back and, you know, you sit deep and your team is not creating anything. There is no connection between the midfield and the defense. And, you know, like, oh, yeah, you're being pragmatic. No, like, I'm sorry, with all due respect, I say this over and over again. You compare the season of Zidane's last season and Carlo's first season. The only difference was Benzema's heroics. What happened in Zidane's last season? I think we lost the title on the last day. We were out of the Champions League in the semifinals, right? Against Thomas Tuchel, so Chelsea, right? So with Chelsea. The masterclass. So that's the thing. Put in Benzema's masterclass and it's a whole different thing. So, like, I mean, you can come here and keep telling me. I mean, every single one on this panel knows that Benzema was at gold mode. He was, like, in that Cristiano era that, okay, we're not going to lose this game. That was just the thing. Every single one of you would agree with that. And that was a damning factor to why we won the Champions League. Of course, like, yeah, Rodrigo was there, Camavinga was there. Like, they were all X factors as well. But, like, we shouldn't come here and be like, yeah, okay, he loves the pragmatic group. No, he needs a Messi or a Cristiano or Benzema performing at that level to make that happen. This is just the thing. This is not Carlo of 2007 anymore. This is not Carlo of 2010 with Chelsea. This is 2024.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to interrupt you here, right? There are two things I want to say to you. First of all, I don't think the difference between Zidane's last season and Ancelotti's first season was Benzema, because Benzema was pretty brilliant for Zidane as well. The difference was the fact that Benzema actually had somebody contributing alongside him in Vinicius. In Zidane's last season, that wasn't happening. I mean, Vinicius was missing open chances. But in Ancelotti's first season, he suddenly started scoring. Something happened, you know? Some magic happened and Vinicius suddenly became, he gained the ability to score once again. So for me, that's the difference. And the second thing is, like, I mean, I definitely agree with being down on Ancelotti, especially given what happened against City towards the end of the last season. But we also have to keep in mind the fact that we went to the semis and we lost to the one team that was probably the best team in Europe last year. Yeah. So, I mean, we completely thrashed Liverpool at Anfield. I mean, Chelsea, whatever that team was, we went past them, and whoever faced, we did well against them. And yeah, definitely we were like bad in the league, but it has its own reasons. I wouldn't squarely put it down on Ancelotti. And this season as well, I think Ancelotti has like marshaled the team well. There's a reason why we are 7 points ahead, and there's a reason why we have gone through the quarterfinals. I mean, yeah, definitely this particular game was bad. This wasn't the best game that we have played this season, but I mean, I still would give Ancelotti a lot of credit. I think going forward, maybe even if we lose, I think this Ancelotti so far has done well this season, given with what he has.
So that's the thing. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, like Carlo is this or that. What I'm just saying is that the comment was that, like, we've seen him done that. I'm just saying, like, it's been two Champions League campaigns, right? He won one and he lost one, right? He won one league and he's lost one league. So, like, it's not like you come out and be like, oh, yeah, Carlo, that, yeah, he just, you know, does more prime more in your team. We score one goal, we close up and win the whole shit. That's not the thing. It's required a moment of individual brilliance over and over again. And, okay, like, it's like kind of trying to make excuses and what is not. But the point is, who is the closest contender to us? It's Girona. Like, I mean, it's not like it's prime Barcelona running down the throat of Carlo Ancelotti or, like, you know, Atletico.
Okay, you're saying it's just moments of brilliance, but has this season, especially the period between, you know, November, December, let's say January, February, was it just down to moments of brilliance? Or was it the fact that we were playing some of the best football that we have seen in recent years?
I totally agree with that. That's true. And I agree with it.
That, so, I mean, that was Ancelotti as well, right?
But this is an isolated thing. This is the point. Like, Carlo has been here for how long now? 2.5 years? In 2.5 years, you can maybe count 5 months, 6 months where actually you could see that something happened. For every other game, it's, come on, man. Like, I mean, even the season we won the league, let's not forget, like, my issue started from the Sevilla game, you know, at the Bernabeu, where we had, like, Vini score that R2 goal, Waldy, stuff like that. You know, and after that, we won the game. And, like, yeah, all of a sudden, you know, Carlo Ancelotti is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Or I don't know, the third coming or the fourth coming or whatever it is, you know. So, but that's the point. Like, we can't just keep going like this. Honestly, like, this is just not the thing. So if we're going to keep playing like this, yeah, okay, then today we win, tomorrow we lose. Today we win, tomorrow we lose. It's going to be just a battle of up and downs.
But the issue, Arun, is that's the point, right? This is not tomorrow we win, like, day after tomorrow we lose. The thing is, like, we're having a lot of good games and we are having a couple of bad games. A couple of bad games can happen to any team. I mean, we are definitely, I mean, as much as you want to discount it, the fact is, like, this team is not completely built, right? We're still missing one big player in attack. But given what he has, Ancelotti has done a decent job so far this season. And I will carry on doing the right job, like, even in the future, you know.
I will rephrase the sentence in my way. It's the fact that it's not that we've played bad in a few games and played well in a lot of games. We've won a lot of games and we've lost very few games. But we've been shit in most of those games. There is a phrase actually that Jacob used towards the beginning of the season that I love. It's that you watch the games and you never feel like Real Madrid is gonna win, but they win. This is just the thing. You never feel like they're gonna win, but they just win. So this is the thing, like, this is, we win the game, but, like, we've not been good. So I think we should not mix the two things.
Jacob, you give this guy the bullets. Why the fuck do you give this guy the bullets? Like, I don't get it. But yeah. That made me happy for like 5 seconds. Thank you, Faruk.
No, are you depressed again? Oh no.
Yeah, I'm back to the downer mode.
Faruk is soon as get happy pills, you
know. Honestly. Yeah, like, honestly, like I won't show disparity actually, towards towards
Faruk.
The boys.
Please get me my Faruk. Mo, have you talked to Faruk? Please,
yeah, honestly, like, Faruk is my most favorite person. Like, it's just simple as, like, I know you guys would feel a bit, you know, intimidated by that statement, but that's just the reality of the situation, you know?
I'm going to be the best man at your wedding, man, you know?
Honestly? Okay. I'll be super honored to have you.
Yeah, bro. But I know that didn't happen, man, so that's all cool as well.
Stop hating on, you know, the future, right? Like, we never know. But, talking about the game, Prince Arthur was also saying Madrid does enough to win throughout the season, get Xabi in or something. I don't get what he meant.
I think he's just reiterating what Faruk said. You know, Madrid just does enough to get the result. But then really, he kind of wants Xabi Alonso to take the place of Ancelotti.
Right. Prasad was also mentioning Openda had a bad day, else we would have been destroyed. Yeah, it's pretty much how, you know, the game panned out, right? Like, they had the better chances, simple as. Miron was mentioning Openda, Di Stefano, Cristiano Ronaldo, greatest, Real Madrid's greatest. I hate how you guys don't respect my Belgian goat, great defensive performance. Ricardo was mentioning, pertaining to Rodrigo, we just have to replace him. Yeah, he is not going to start over Vinny, and he is extremely limited on the right. Since Bale regressed, our right wing has been dead for years.
Like, I just feel like selling him is just not the answer, you know. We still need depth, and even if he doesn't set the world on fire in the next 5 years, he's still such a super valuable person to just bring off the bench or just to give players some rest. So we shouldn't even think about selling him. People have been asking for depth in the attack for a long time, and then once we can actually potentially get it next season, then suddenly we want to lose that depth.
Rodrigo is such a valuable player. Like, I won't really back any movements to sell him, but they like, especially after today, you know, considering how it has been going for the past month or so, people are really gonna, you know, cook him. It's not normal. Like, he should know that, you know, at this level, at this club especially, right? The club he knows more than maybe, you know, guys like Vinny.
I just have one question. Like, why wasn't Brahim starting today? Like, if Ancelotti decided to bench Rodrigo, why wasn't it Brahim
today? That's the biggest.
Was he injured or something?
Man, no, man.
That's the biggest conspiracy.
Masterclass.
Maybe he might be injured. You never know what's happening. Maybe we'll get to know it in a couple of days. But it's super surprising why, you know, Brahim, who has excelled, like, even in a two-man front two, has been completely left out. Like, he didn't even come on from the bench. Like, I don't get it. So he must be injured.
What I thought, like, when you guys were talking about the lineup, because I didn't really get to see the game in the first half, but I was thinking, like, Ancelotti, what he wanted to do today was replicate what Zidane used to do, you know, with his four-man midfields. Whenever there were big games, he would bring all these midfielders into the game and try and win the battle of the midfields, especially with Isco, because Isco was this one guy who could, you know, you could give him the ball, he could have it the whole 90 minutes and nobody could get it out of him, even if he creates nothing and Ramirez don't do anything. So for me, that was something I felt that Ancelotti probably wanted to do with, you know, five midfielders playing today. But I think the fact that we lack a player like Isco now, you know, somebody who can hold the ball in the midfield dominant position, I think that really hurt us. And the players that we had really didn't do the job that I think.
Casemiro is also, Casemiro 4 years ago, basically he could sweep on his own, solo.
Yeah, and I think that would also play into what Ancelotti is saying in his post-match, you know. In the post, he keeps saying that he had some ideas about pressing Leipzig high and, you know, winning the possession and everything. But that didn't really happen. Once that doesn't happen in Leipzig, you know, given their intensity, given their verticality, given their ability to play out the ball from the back and, you know, move from defense to attack in like a matter of seconds, Real Madrid were like incredibly pinned back, because if we didn't do that, we would have left a lot of open spaces. And yeah, maybe Openda didn't score, but then Cesco might have scored, you know. So I think that was why Real Madrid got pinned back. So sometimes these games happen. Sometimes, you know, you can plan like with the best of, you can come out with the best of plans, but you can't really implement it because
I was really surprised by how wasteful Leipzig were. Like, I'm pretty sure that, you know, they are.
I'm actually surprised that Openda didn't score a single goal in these two ties, because even ignoring the number of chances he got, like coming into these games, you know, he's been in brilliant form. I remember when we did the preview the first time, me, Jacob, and the guy from Leipzig, and I said that Jacob asked me, like, which player do you expect, like, from Leipzig, which player do you expect to score? And I said Openda. So Openda has been in good form.
He even scored against Bochum, right? Like a couple of days ago, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't really watch the game, so I wouldn't know. But yeah, for me, I was completely expecting Openda to score. And I mean, yeah, definitely we've been, like, you know, surprised.
Guys like Cesco shooting from way out, you know, without having any composure. Like, I didn't really get it, you know, honestly.
Yeah, for me, I was expecting more from Openda in this game. You know, he's a pretty talented guy. And the fact that he had a pretty bad Champions League tie overall against Real Madrid, I think this is the difference between players like him and, you know, players like Rodrigo. Although Rodrigo might be getting a lot of shit, but the thing is, like, when he comes to big moments, he does step up and he does deliver. something that you know is a key characteristic of what separates the great players from the world-class players. So I think that is why I think Rodrigo going forward definitely does have a role in Madrid, unless until we decide to sell him because we need to raise money.
Right, right. Jacob, I think it's perfect. It's a perfect excuse for the ad break. Let's hear what Doris has to say.
Hello, Madridistas. Bigger Manscaped. I'm back once again to remind you guys that we're partnered up with Manscaped. And if you want to help and support this project and this little family of ours, be sure to check out Manscaped and use code LBR20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. So 2024 is in full swing. We're already a month in, and if you had any New Year's resolutions to look better, you know, feel better, I have a company called Manscaped. They're trusted by more than 10 million men worldwide, and if you want to take a positive step, you know, in a good direction this year, start with yourself. And Manscaped asked us to introduce you guys to the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It's a hair trimmer, you know, for your sensitive bits. It features skin safe technology, you know, to keep your sensitive bits safe. It has an LED bright, it's waterproof, you can use it in the shower. You get two extra heads, blade heads, to go either full smooth or a normal blade head. If you want to go all in, you can get the whole package. You get a nose trimmer, you get crop preserver, it's a ball deodorant, you get some aftershave, and in the box you also get some boxers and a bag, you know, to keep all of those things in. So yeah, if you're interested, go to manscaped.com, use code LBR20 to get 20% off at checkout and free shipping. That's LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. And thank you guys, and back to the video.
Paid by Farouk. I know this.
Could be.
What can we do, man? We have to get a campaign running, bro. I think we need to. We haven't gotten enough yet. We're going to pay a bit more. But we need the oil money that's coming from Sunate, you know, campaign for the citizens.
Yeah, you guys can joke as much as you want, yeah. But come the city preview, like, I want you, Farouk, to tell Steve that we are going to win, yeah. Like, that's the only thing, right? You should tell him that we are going to win.
Why would we go into the preview and be like, yo, big Steve?
We won't. So but I'm just telling you, like, when you predict, you should be like, yeah, we are going to win 3-1 or like 2-0, like, easy without even flinching. That's the only thing.
Sunet is like this. Sunet oscillates between two extremes, you know. On one end, it'll be like Madrid will win 6-0. On the other end, it's like Madrid will lose 6-0. There's no in-between.
Yeah, there is no in-between for me. Like, my personality is like extremes, you know. Like, it's either too good, too happy, or too sad, you know. Like, I'm too sad today, man. Like, honestly. Watching that was really draining for me. But yeah, big up Manscaped, big up Doris. You heard the woman. Get 20% off and free shipping on manscaped.com with the code LBR20. I repeat, LBR20. They are the pioneers of Beard the Waste Grooming, but they have a whole catalog of products ranging from, you know, deodorants, loungewear, all of that. So yeah, man, you asked us a way to show some love to the pod. This is your perfect excuse, right?
And you know, before you go on, I would just like to say that if some of you guys like really missed watching the game, or some of you guys want to relive those happy memories from today, you would just go back and, you know, watch the watch along once again, so that, you know, you get to relive the whole experience. So definitely check out Doris's watch along.
Yeah, Doris is certainly much more composed than, you know, Aslota, you know, for sure. Right. Who should I come to? Jacob, walk us through the goal, man. It was pretty brilliant. Let's be honest, in isolation, the way Jude had the composure, had the presence of mind to basically turn the angle of play, to basically slip Winnie in on a basically a one-on-one, where when the play actually begins to take form, you never really see that.
Absolutely, man. Even before that, we get to Bellingham and Vinicius. Like, I have to big up Cruz, man. He absolutely won that ball in a crucial time. Played that beautiful pass forward and made that happen. And he did that on countless times. He won the ball so many times. And, you know, when he couldn't get the ball, he basically followed the player. I feel like he was really good today, especially in those certain moments. And yeah, Bellingham, I did not expect that. And we have to bring up Vinny's run as well. He recognized that Bellingham was maybe going out a bit more wider. So he took the run inside and Bellingham just made it happen with his magic. So, and pretty good finish by Vinny as well.
Thoughts more on the goal?
Yeah, for me, I think Bellingham did well. But for me, the bigger credit goes to Vinicius because Vinicius had the presence of mind and realized that Bellingham wasn't really passing him the ball in the area that he was already in. And he was going to run at the player. So he decided, you know, I'm going to just cross and get into space. That particular run is what creates the goal. I mean, like Jacob said, Cruz and Bellingham did a brilliant job to get us there. But Vinicius' presence of mind actually translated that from a chance into a goal. Because if that run hadn't happened, there would be no possibility of scoring a goal from that situation. But the fact that Vinicius makes that cross run and, you know, he gets into the box, essentially unmarked, into space, into an area that we definitely know that this Vinicius can score. Not the 2021 Vinicius, but this Vinicius is definitely scoring. So for me, I have to praise him for this. And I think I really enjoyed watching this from him. Before the game, there were some talks, you know, I think towards the end of the first half, like on Twitter and everything, that, you know, oh, this is the difference between Vinicius and Mbappe. You know, Mbappe can do this, Mbappe can do that. But Vinicius showed, okay, fine, I'm not Mbappe, but I still have my own bag of tricks. And he definitely delivered for us when we needed it.
Yeah, Vinicius's goal probability in a given situation, it ranges from, yes, he's scoring on certain days to, like, I don't know what I'm going to get, right? And today was one of those occasions. Like, even when he got into that position, I was like, yeah, just waiting for it to really happen and for the net to bulge.
I think the good thing about Vinicius is the fact that even if he's having a bad game, he never stops trying. He's always trying to do something. He's always trying to make things happen. And today, again, we saw this, you know, even if he was frustrated toward before it, and even if, you know, he was making us frustrated before it, he still kept his head in the game. And, you know, somehow he pulled this run that I didn't really think anybody would have made. He makes this run and, you know, there's a goal at the end of it. And Real Madrid, especially after the shit game that we had, we still somehow managed to lead 1-0.
100%. But did you guys watch his scuffle with, Orban, right? Like, Orban, yeah. Like, why does he go for his throat? Like, I don't get it. Like, isn't that a red in another scenario?
What, did he go for his throat or what?
Yeah. Throat, like, or I think he grabbed his neck.
Pretty close to the neck. It was pretty close to the neck, like close to the clavicle. Be technical.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true, but he wasn't like grabbing his neck or something. No, he was trying to push him. So
definitely.
I don't know. About it being a red
some,
man.
And some refs would have given it. I was so nervous. I was very sure.
I'm telling you, people who basically proclaim that Champions League doesn't rile up Winnie, there is no racist abuse, the referees are much more saner, calmer. You got to give me answers for shit like that tonight. Right, on a game where the stakes were so high that we were basically on the ropes, why is he getting wind up by, you know, like basically, I don't know, man, like Red Bull merchants, like honestly, like is Willie Orban fucking Paolo Maldini? I don't get it. Honestly, this kind of attitude behavior has to fucking stop, and guys have to mature up if we really have to stand a chance in winning the Champions League. I'm telling you, in the big occasions, people can't lose heads.
It wasn't more about Vinicius getting wound up. I think it was kind of like he was actually trying to wound up the Leipzig players because of the dominance that was there, and there was some frustration about the fact that we weren't actually getting the ball into good areas for offensive players to actually contribute. So I think it was down to that. But then you have a valid point when you say, like, guys like Vinicius, you know, or Rodrigo, they need to mature and sometimes keep their head in situations where they tend to lose it.
Syed the bus is in the chat. Big up, Syed. He was mentioning, hey guys, City fan, your amazing work you're doing. That's a dig, right, Syed? But I think we can beat Madrid again this year. Yeah, I can't fault your confidence, to be honest. But coming up against us in the Champions League, you never know. Because, you know, history says otherwise. When, you know, we play City, more often than not, you know how it works. Even if you're the better side, we might get rubber the green on a given night and, yeah, might knock you out. But it'll be definitely one for the history books, you know, if we actually, you know, lock horns again this year. But yeah, the concession of the goal, Farouk, was it inevitable the way we conceded?
I know Danny Carvajal had a very poor clearance, but could Nacho have done better to get in front of Willie Orban?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think, you know, like putting Willie Orban basically in front of you, I think gives you almost no chance to that. Honestly, if he gets on that, like he goes on target and it's a goal. I kind of feel like, you know, the positioning of Nacho was just strong on that, in my opinion. And I think he could have done way, way, way better than that, honestly. So, like, yeah, there's, for the position he took, there was nothing, you know, he could have done. And he was, you know, a fantastic finish. There is nothing, you know, also Loney could have done in goal as well to that. But I felt like, yeah, it was just, you know, poor positioning from Nacho all over.
Jacob, any thoughts? Willie Orban could have basically had, couple of players could have had a hat-trick. You know, Willie Orban could have had a brace, right?
Definitely. And for me, it was just the passage of play at that point. Like, we just looked like we were going to concede at some point. And we just did not have any control. Like, at that point, once we scored that, once we have a 2-0 lead on the aggregate, like, we should have controlled the game, maybe brought on Modric at that point sooner. But we just did not do that, and we couldn't control the game. And that was the major fault, and that's why the goal happened. Like, we can point out to individual players, but that goal was always coming.
Right, I just knew, you know, like when that play happened, you know, something is bound to happen. It's going to be either a handball or a pen, or, you know, like someone is basically getting a tap in. It's just super wild, you know, like how we can, you know, let games get to that point, you know, especially at home. Game management, where is it? Where has it been over the past, you know, 2 or 3 weeks? But Mo, walk us through Kroos and Modric. Kroos, I think, had one of the, you know, salvageable performances he, you know, put in Jude through, you know, with that brilliant interception for the goal as well. Had a couple of neat tackles. Yes, you know, there were a couple of questionable, you know, sliding challenges and, you know, like some good game management fouls here and there. But in general, Kroos was, I think, one of the better performances on the pitch.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you said. Like, I mean, I have to agree because I didn't really watch the first half, but for the second half, from what I watched, I cannot really doubt what you said. But even at that point, I felt like this game needed Modric because, you know, whenever we played in the Champions League, I always said this, Modric knows how to manage the games. He knows how to, okay, maybe the controlling of the pace and rhythm and, you know, tempo of the game comes from Kroos, but Modric knows how to manage games in Champions League. He knows how to manage situations. So I think the game went to 1-1, you know, even when we went up, I felt that we needed Modric in the midfield. And taking off Kroos was the way Ancelotti decided to go, especially given that Kroos had a yellow card. So, and, you know, he was a little bit slower in the challenges. And, I mean, Kroos is 34. He's not like 28 or something, you know. He's not in his physical prime. And the thing is, like, Leipzig players, they play with a lot of intensity. They have a lot of pace. And if you are even a step slower, the decision can go against you. So bringing a fresh Modric at that point in time, especially somebody who knows how to manage the games, who knows how to control the games, is important. And I think Modric's leadership in the midfield definitely helped because there was an improvement in our performance after Modric came on, as good as, you know, Toni Kroos was. So definitely a good substitution by Ancelotti, and I think he deserves credit there. But even then, I mean, Leipzig definitely did have their chances, and they were going to have, because overall, our team, you know, as Rudiger said in the post-match, we lacked a little bit of intensity. We were a little bit slower. You know, we didn't really get the challenges in that we needed to.
Right. Final thoughts, boys. I'll come to you, Farooq. What is your takeaways in a nutshell from tonight?
Yeah, man, there's nothing to take away from this game, man. As you said at the beginning, you know, like, rather than having questions, we have more answers on our hands. And, you know, especially to anyone that this Rodrigo right now, what's going to happen with him? Because, like, this was a really important game. And, you know, Carlo Ancelotti decided for him to be the sacrificial lamb, albeit, in my opinion, a very dumb one. But, yeah, like, what's going to happen with Rodrigo? How is he going to fit in? And what's, you know, the form of Jude going to look like? Because basically right now, like, that's what is really, really, you know, that's the team literally relies on, you know, those combinations. And right now they're liking, honestly, they're severely liking. And I don't know, I don't know if you guys have any news on Militao, but I really do hope, you know, we can get some appearance from, you know, Militao sometime, you know, when the real game starts. I don't know, I think they're starting the next round anyways. So I really do hope we can get some, you know, some comeback from him at least, you know, because the rate at which we concede chances are just so real. As you also mentioned, you know, it's not an isolated event. Even, you know, we go to the game in Leipzig, we go to the game at the Marseille at the weekend, and then this game. So it's you know, it's looking bleak in the rate at which we are considering chances. Even forget about the offensive output, you know, the defensive is the defensive side of it is not looking really good, honestly. And I do hope, you know, like our boys can figure it out one way or another, and hopefully we can also get one of our best defenders back.
Mo, Farouk had some very valid points, you know. Is it solely down to us missing guys like Militao? I mean, Nacho, yes, had some iffy performances. Like, I'm not sure if he's still playing through his injury, but he had a very good, you know, recovery tackle, especially towards the end of the second half, where he slid the ball in, you know, came in like his you know, signature, basically, you know, being super aggressive with his interceptions and stuff like that. But apart from that, he really had to basically, you know, basically huff and puff to see the game out, you know, as quickly as possible. Because I'm telling you, like, Rudiger, without Rudiger and his performances this season, like, where would we be? You know, like, let's be honest. If we really didn't have Rudiger playing out of his skin, we would be way behind in La Liga and the Champions League. We could have been knocked out.
I mean, return of Militao is definitely going to help. Return of Courtois is definitely going to help. I mean, these are world-class players. I mean, which team wouldn't love to have players like these back in their squad? So, as Farouk said, if, you know, Militao is back for important games, if Courtois is back for important games, you always play these guys, and it's definitely going to be a positive. But for as to how deep Real Madrid are going to go in this competition, it definitely is going to depend on the other point that Farouk made. How the combination between Jude and Vinicius and, you know, what kind of form Rodrigo is in come the deep end of the season. That is what is going to define Real Madrid season. And ultimately, that is what is going to decide Real Madrid season. So for me, yeah, Militao and Courtois are definitely going to help if they come back. But more importantly, we need Rodrigo, Vinicius and Bellingham to get their groove back.
Lunin's positioning was decent on many occasions. His passing out of the back, yes, is sometimes a bit, you know, nerve-wracking, I'm not going to lie. But one of his saves, especially, I think, the save he made of Xavi Simons was very unconventional. Like, maybe he saw the shot late. I don't get it. You know, he basically flapped it away. Like, he didn't know what he was doing. So, apart from that, Lunin has been okay. You know, like, I wouldn't really fault him for the goal either. There isn't much you can do.
No, I mean, the thing is, like, Lunin is okay, Lunin is good, but Courtois is world-class. You need Courtois.
100%. 100%. Jacob, your thoughts, man? Anything to add from what Mo and Farouk just said?
Yeah, man, like, I just have two takeaways. I really think we need to give Fede Valverde some rest. Hopefully, in the next couple of games, we can, if Bellingham is actually not suspended. Hopefully, that gets repealed. The other takeaway is that Carlo Ancelotti sometimes just doesn't learn from his mistakes. Like, he says he's going to assess these things, but he's repeating the same things. Like, why tinker with stuff just before an important game when you have actually figured out things that make this team tick? Like, we know the combinations and the style of players that you want in order to make goals happen, but then he goes back to this weird formation where it doesn't help any single player. And it just makes you think if he's ever going to learn.
Pretty Damon.
I mean, the man's over there, you know? Years old, man. He's 1 million years old. Do you think he's going to learn at this age? I mean, come on, he's learned everything he's going to learn in the past, bro.
It's up to David Ancelotti right now.
Faru isn't a big believer in senior education, you know?
You're really telling me Carlo needs to go to evening classes, yeah?
I mean, he definitely doesn't need to learn how to do his taxes. So.
Okay. Holy shit. Okay. I hope Francesco doesn't tune in. Because he's going to tell Carlo, you know, like, look at these guys, you know, they're talking shit about you.
if he's telling him about his taxes, he also needs to tell him the fact that, you know, I'm the only one today defending Ancelotti to an extent, so... Please, Carlo, you know, give me credit for that.
Just today. But I've been one of his biggest defenders, Francesco.
Something that has bewildered me, like, you know, to use the word, this game, not just this game, this, like, second half of the season, the fact that I don't understand why Ancelotti is so reluctant to use Camavinga as a left back. I mean, if he was going to make a substitution at halftime, why not put Camavinga into left back position, take off Mendy and bring on Rodrigo? I think that definitely helps us in getting out of pressure situations, because Camavinga is a much better passer. And even in the forward areas, he can combine better with Vinicius, you know. with Mendy, yeah. They're like, you know, Vinicius trying to play off of a pole in attacking sequences. So at least Camavinga would have helped. But, you know,
man, but Carlo is just old school, man. Like, he knows we have a one goal lead. Like, why would he bring on Camavinga instead of Mendy? He just believes Mendy is the best defensive left back in the world. So why would you take that off?
I mean, when you are unable to get the ball out of the back, at that point in time, you aren't really, like, I mean, in those times, I think you need some positive changes instead of making negative change. And for me, getting on Rodrigo was a positive change, but taking off Camavinga for him was a negative change. And I probably would have gone with Mendy off and, you know, Camavinga playing in the tough aperture. But then at the end of the day, we live to fight another day. And, almost. You know, Farouk is going to be with us for another preview. So I guess that is the thing I'm happy about the most.
The whole Camavinga thought process, like, I wouldn't think it was going to make much of a difference, but I see where Mo comes from, right? Like, he's definitely a better, you know, passer of the ball. He's a lot more composed in tight situations. I get it. That was my thought process as well, right? Like, when we saw Camavinga in the lineup, I was thinking, oh yeah, like, he's going to basically take up the Brahim kind of mantle and, you know, support Jude and Winnie in building up. But yeah, man needs to work on his shooting. Simple as, like, he needs to be a threat, like, from long range. Like, at least test the keeper. Like, he doesn't have any conviction when he's going in for a shot. Like, did you see a shot today? Like, it was basically like, you know, like shooting from a water gun. Like, I'm not even, you know, exaggerating.
Camavinga is horrendous when it comes to shooting. He's horrendous.
He needs to step it up. Like, all deep lying midfielders has to have a good shot.
Centrally in the long range, I think Camavinga needs to improve a lot, especially if he wants to play as a midfielder. But when he's playing out wide, I think he's a little bit better, and his combination with Vinicius definitely gives us some options. But yeah, I mean, Carletto is Carletto. Like Farouk said, he has a million years of experience, so he definitely does know better than me.
I guess that's pretty much it, man. We covered basically everything. Like, I'm not sure if Jacob and Farouk has decided as to when the Celta Vigo preview is going to be. Like, did you guys decide it yet? Like, can we let the people know? Is it tomorrow? Is it Friday?
We'll let you guys know. We'll let you guys know. Just follow us on
bloody silence.
Just follow us on our Instagram, man. Come on.
Right.
You know, okay. There are some bands who will have these secret shows, you know, which you can only know if you know the right people. So the
previous right. Is it being held underground?
Yeah, is it like a secret show? You know if you know.
I would apologize for the lack of professionalism from my subordinates, you know, to the people listening in, but this is what you get, you know, with Farouk and Jacob. I'm joking, but yeah, like what Farouk, like what Jacob said, basically, you know, watch out for the YouTube community tab. Basically, I think it shows up if you schedule a stream, if I'm not mistaken. Or yeah, turn on the notification bell if you want to know way ahead of time. But yeah, man, big up every single one of you in the chat. 16 people still here. Smash the likes and subscribe to the channel if you're new. Big up S. Matthew, he was saying Ala Madrid. Big up Syed. I actually mistook your statement. You said you're doing great about the pod, if I'm not mistaken, which is super appreciated. Much love, bro. But yeah, looking forward to City again, you know. Looking forward to it. Big up listeners on audio as well. Thank you for sending in feedback, whether it's positive or negative. It's always appreciated, and it really makes a difference for how we, you know, tailor this podcast, man. What makes this podcast? This podcast is you guys making it a two-way street, and we can have, you know, very civil conversations about the game and life in general sometimes. Big up our partners, Manscaped. You know the drill. LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping on manscaped.com. Jacob hasn't still sorted out the pinned comment. I have no idea why. Jacob, you have to, you know, figure that out, especially, you know, before the stream ends, if possible, because the live chat is going to go down. But yeah, LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping on manscaped.com. Like you all know, Manscaped is the pioneers in below the waist grooming, but they have a huge catalog of products ranging from loungewear to deodorants, all of that. So yeah, you guys asked us for a way to show the podcast some love, and this is the way. This is the perfect excuse. Because big up Marcus Bellingham, he was mentioning Ala Madrid, you know, the mass big up set. He was mentioning the win was more important than anything, 100%.
100%. We had to really, you know, see out the game. That was all that mattered. I guess, you know, especially in the Champions League, you can take this as one of those off days and, you know, focus on the result a bit more. But yeah, big up our partners on Instagram, Real Madrid Committee, the OGs. They have been with us since almost day one. They run a brilliant Real Madrid fan page. Go check them out. Yeah, if you like the content, give them a follow as well. Also, big up Hafid, big up Rajat. We have been, you know, planning on launching the big three yesterday. It didn't really go to plan. Apologies, people. There were some technical unforeseen difficulties that came into play. But hopefully it might be launched tomorrow or Friday. We'll let you guys know ASAP. We have very high hopes for the new series. It's going to be, you know, all out warfare between, you know, fans of the three big clubs in Spain. I hope it can, you know, really provide a different sort of outlet for, you know, basically discussing football, not just in La Liga, but also in the Champions League. But yeah, Jacob, is the pin coming up?
I'll get to it later.
Like, do we get the live chat? No, I don't think we can get the live chat later.
Once you pop the chat out, it's like difficult to pin the comment. It's, for some reason, it doesn't allow you to pin the comment. So
Let me put it in. Let me put it in. Because
sure, man. Like,
let's go off air and put it in.
We can't. I'm telling you, Jacob. We can't.
I mean, he's saying he's not gonna end the stream. He's just gonna end, like, put the.
Oh, really? Yeah. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Yes, I can do all magic.
Okay. Okay, fair. Right. Okay, then, people, I guess we'll sort it out in a bit. But yeah, big up every single one of you in the chat again. Love for the love. Watch out for when the preview is going to be, hopefully tomorrow or Friday. Farooq and Jacob will be back again to preview Celta at home. But yeah, until next time, people. Hala Madrid.
Hala Madrid.
Madrid.